BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
You're listening to Tuesday's episode of The Archers from BBC Radio 4.
What about that comment he made before he set off? The one about promising not to break the speed limit.
David, it was a joke. Leonard's not miffed at us anymore. Now, don't let me forget when we get to the farm store. We need to get some cluster disinfectant.
OK.
Oh, and we also need to pop into somewhere that sells cards.
Who do we need a card for?
Pat and Tony. It's their anniversary on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Do you remember much about their wedding? You must have been there.
Actually, I'm not sure I was. I'd have been away at boarding school.
Oh, of course.
I do have a very clear memory of them coming back from honeymoon, though. I was home for Christmas by then, and they'd come over to visit. They'd been, I don't know, somewhere exotic, can't remember where. I just recall Pat proudly announcing that she'd been sunbathing topless.
No, really?
The look on Grandma Doris's face.
Good for Pat.
Yeah. At the time, I thought Tony was the luckiest man alive.
Excuse me?
What?
David Archer, are you telling me you used to have a thing for Pat?
Well...
Did.
Well, what do you expect? I just spent a term surrounded by nothing other than teenage boys. And there's this 21, 22-year-old woman with tan, golden skin, gentle, lilting Welsh accent.
And you really had the hots for her?
No, not exactly. Come on, it was 1974. I was only 15. Can we talk about something else? Beavers.
You what?
I want to ask Tony about these plans to introduce beavers to the rewilding. And if they get out into the Am, they could cause all sorts of havoc with the banks.
I wouldn't start worrying about it just yet. They're only toying with the idea.
No, I realise that, but I'm seeing more and more stories about beaver damage. For farmers, they're going to become the new badgers if we're not careful.
Wouldn't you know it? Look who's cycling this way.
Ha!
David, give him a honk. I don't think he's realised it, so... Right. Hi, Leonard!
Did he look?
I'm not sure. Oh, my goodness!
What is it? What?
He's come off his bike! David, stop!
Thank you for doing this, Alan.
Are you sure you don't want Robert to know that we're going to see Gavin?
Yes, I'm sure.
I understand you don't want to upset him.
No, I don't.
But wouldn't it be better all round if you told him?
He'd only try to stop me.
Yeah, all right, but...
It's not up to Robert to dictate how I feel. This is something I need to do for myself. I'm sorry, Alan.
Don't be sorry, Linda.
I just know that if I refuse to sit down with him, if I can't look Gavin in the eye, I'll have let myself down.
Mm.
I've been trying to think what I'm going to say to him, but I can't.
Well, look, just say what you feel, or nothing at all. It's enough that you've agreed to hear him out.
Yes, perhaps.
Either way, I'll be with you. You'll be fine.
Oh, what's going on up ahead? Is that Ruth and David?
Oh, looks like it.
All right, it's all right. Hold on to me.
What's hurting?
Oh, it's just my wrist.
Are you okay? What happened?
Hi, Alan. Were you hit?
No.
He came off his bike.
My fault. I honked my horn at him.
No, it's not your fault, David. I didn't see the ditch.
It was because I distracted you.
Well, I should have kept my eyes on the road.
Thank goodness you were wearing a helmet.
Is there anything we can do to help?
No, honestly.
I think we'll be fine.
You sure?
Yes. I'm just a bit shaken.
Thank you, though.
Okay, well, glad you're all right. The one we saw you in the road.
No, don't worry.
I'll see you then.
Now look after yourself, won't you?
Cheers, Linda.
Bye.
Bye.
Right. What's going on with this wrist? Do you need to get it checked out? Can you bend it?
Oh, sorry.
It's already quite swollen. Come on, let's get you in the Land Rover. I think we need to take you to A&E.
Oh, right.
I wasn't sure if either of you took sugar.
No, thanks.
Not for me. Well, there are a few sachets if you want me. Okay, well...
It's you who asked for this meeting, Gavin, so I think you should begin.
Of course. First of all, thanks for agreeing to meet me like this, Mrs. Snell. I know it can't be easy, and I'm sorry I freaked you out on Sunday. Truth is, I was chuffed to see you. I've been wondering how you are. Congratulations on your MBE, by the way. That's amazing. You look like you're doing really well. I just wanted you to know how sorry I am. Sincerely sorry. What happened to you in the explosion, it's my fault. It was me who gave Blake the petrol. I made him use it instead of adhesive remover.
Well, Gavin, I'm not sure if going over the details is helpful. We know what happened.
No, I know, but I want Mrs. Snell to know that I take full responsibility. If it makes you feel any better, I'm still suffering. You think you're going to serve your time and then that'll be it. You get out and move on. But I can't. Of course, I'm not expecting you to feel sorry for me. I know it's nothing compared to the pain that I put you through. I want you to know that my life's been destroyed too. I don't have friends or family. I got nothing. And no one. And that's fair enough. I deserve it. I thought maybe knowing that might help you.
It doesn't, Gavin. Knowing your suffering doesn't make me feel any better.
Doesn't it?
No. How could it? It can't give me back what was taken from me.
Did you get hold of your mum?
Yeah, I did.
How did she react?
How do you think? Tried to reassure her as best I could. I told her Leonard wasn't going that fast.
That's what's so ridiculous. You must have listened to what we said.
Yeah. And then I put him off by hooting my horn.
Hey, come on. It was me who told you to. If you're to blame for Leonard coming a cropper, so am I.
What do you think the chances are it's just a sprain?
I'm not sure it makes that much difference. You heard what the doctor said. The amount of pain he was in, he's obviously done something serious.
Well, who knows? All we can do is wait and see what the X-ray shows. Perhaps it won't be as bad as we think.
As well as operating on my pelvis and my collapsed lung, they took skin grafts from my leg and my scalp. I've become quite adept with my makeup and how I wear my hair, but I'm sure you don't have to look too closely.
No, I can see.
I won't bore you with the details of my recovery. My scars aren't as painful as they were, but they still can be very sensitive. I have to massage and apply creams to them every day.
Linda...
It's fine, Alan. I'm okay. The hardest thing, though, was not knowing who I was anymore. How I looked, how I felt. The way I reacted to things. I was someone who loved nothing more than being amongst people, reduced to cowering in my home. Scared my husband wouldn't be able to love me. Terrified I wouldn't be able to show him how much I loved him. That was taken from me that day, Gavin. That's what I need you to understand.
And I do. Believe me.
I'm glad. Because I've fought to find that woman again. I've had to prod and bully and cajole. And even now, when I'm about to step outside, there's still part of me that wants to turn around and hide. And I've decided that's not an option, though. That's why I'm here.
I don't know what more I can do other than say how sorry I am. I wish I could put it right. I wish I could go back, do things differently.
So do I, but we can't.
No, I know.
We can't, Gavin, and there's no point wishing it. If it's any solace, I do have a new appreciation of all the ways in which I am fortunate. I have a wonderful husband, a lovely home, marvellous friends, including Alan here.
We're fortunate to have you.
And I feel more supported by my community than I ever did before. It must be awful not having any of that.
Like I say, it's only what I deserve.
But if you're asking me to forgive you, I just can't. I don't need you to punish yourself, but I can't forgive you either. It wouldn't make any difference anyway.
It really would.
No, it wouldn't. Not unless you forgive yourself. We can't change what happened, Gavin. But we can accept it. Accept it and try to move on.
Well, I couldn't answer my phone, Mum, because we were talking to the doctor.
Do you need to sit up, Leonard?
Yeah, he's here next to me.
Oh, if you don't mind yet.
The doctor says it's a fracture. We're waiting for him to have it put in a cast.
How's that?
Oh, thank you.
No,
he's fine, Mum.
They've given him painkillers. Okay, yeah, all right. Leonard, Mum wants to talk to you.
Oh.
She won't believe you're fine.
Let me see.
Can you manage? You'll have to hold it in your other hand.
Oh, yes. Thanks, I've got it. Jill, love, hello. No, don't worry. Ruth and David are taking good care of me. I'm okay.
I suppose we should let Simon know what's happened.
No, obviously not.
Any idea what time it is in Singapore?
Not a clue. I mean, it's just gone 4 here, so I guess it's probably night time there.
You'd hope he might fly over. You know, come and look after his dad.
How do you mean?
Well, someone's going to have to take care of him with his hand in plaster. Leonard's going to struggle at home on his own.
Hadn't even got that far.
Maybe he should stay with us.
What?
Well, who else is there? Simon can't help.
Yeah, but the doctor said it'd be 6 weeks until the cast can come off.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, we're not set up to look after an injured 80-something-year-old. Mum certainly can't.
Ben'd help.
I'm sure he would, but he's got his work. He's barely around.
Jill,
and with all the Christmas events in the barn, on top of the regular farm work...
I'm not saying it wouldn't be difficult, but we can't just dump Leonard on his doorstep and expect him to fend for himself.
Well, I know, but...
What choice have we got?
David, your mother's insisting I come to stay with you at Brookfield.
Is she?